see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus program this afternoon. My name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program, manager and mystery of this network. I'm it. I'm the only one. I got people helping me, send me stuff on the internet, and they listen to my broadcast, some of them, and I got several people listening that say, I need to know what I said. Can you tell me? I get more than one opinion. Sometimes I don't even know. Now let it fly. Just let it all come out. The truth. And I don't let nothing hold back. Today, I don't plan on making too many friends, actually, to tell you the truth. And one of the ones that's not going to like it much is the State Department, the DOD, and all these guys. They're not going to like me at all much today. But I really kind of hope they don't, because if they don't like me, that means I'm doing my job. You heard me absolutely correct. Because all week and a half, I've been exposing their plans for veteran genocide. You heard me right. It's been the title of my program, and it's been a title for a reason. Because in fact, the secret societies have targeted the veterans for genocide. I didn't say suicide. I didn't say saving money or whatever. I didn't say avoiding responsibility. No. A planned operation to genocide our veterans so it'll be easier to set up the North American Union having less resistance of occupying forces. And how specific can you get? And it's been set up since 1950 right up till, what's this today? 24th of February 2015. And it's going strong. And everybody's flying around it. It's like the elephant in the room and nobody sees it. Everybody's afraid to mention it. Everybody's afraid to talk about it. It's disgusting. Totally disgusting. Granted, talk about these things is not good for job longevity, I grant you. And retirement could get a little shaky at times, I suppose, if you really tick off the wrong people. But you got to watch those things, you know. Never mind that 26 suicides or veterans are being, listen to the word, are being generated, caused. You think that's crazy? Well, then, how come they're suiciding 74 bankers? How come 4 newscasters gets taken out in a 24-hour period? How about 300 microbiologists from 2006, about 2008 or 9? Now, you want to call that accident? You go on ahead. Family, the secret societies are the enemy. It's not ISIS. ISIS is controlled by the secret societies. Al-Qaeda doesn't even exist. I've shown you that on the 9th of February in a broadcast there, how it's just absurd talking about ISIS, talking about Al-Qaeda. And I gave you personal testimony. Places to look. I got evidence. Everything I tell you, I got evidence for. Everything. And if it's not specifically, and I don't just take one little document or something out of the internet, I get 3 or more major sources. Notice the word more. 3 or more. 3 is bare, absolute minimum. 2, don't get it. 3 or more unconnected, vetted out sources to come up with a conclusion or a fact. Family, you can play golf for so long, you can discuss the percentage of shots made by some basketball player and even talk about his family and know about all about him and get playing cards and collect stupid playing cards or, you know, talk about... I've heard people talk when I sit down, I go to a place at a restaurant, take my little law book with me and drink coffee or whatever and maybe a glass of wine, yeah, maybe a red one actually. Something, and I write my little logbook. Now, listen to people talk. And, man, I tell you, people out there can tell you the field goal percentage of this, that, and the other, and who's going to be for this and be for that, who's going to win that, and they're looking for the Super Bowl next year. I'm like, who cares? Really? You don't like football? I said, well, I played football through college, most of college and high school. I said, I played it, but... Now I see what everything's all about. I see what it's about. Distraction. And I got this documented. Remember I told you. Whenever I tell you, I've got it documented. I've done deep, deep research. I take this job I have seriously, deadly serious. It's not a pastime, and it's dadgum sure not a hobby. I get nothing for what I do. Not zero. Nothing. I don't even have a donate button. Family, we're being lied to at the highest degree, at the highest level. Now, if you don't want to hear it, man, you just really don't want to listen to my broadcast today. You want to live in la-la land? Go on ahead. You can do that. But I don't live in no la-la land. George Orwell said... In 1984, I quote George Orwell, Illuminati, Freemason, Freemason, Illuminati, George Orwell, 1984. He said, and I quote, football, beer, and above all gambling, filled up the horizon of their minds. To keep them in control was not difficult, unquote. We've been had. Since when? You're not going to like this. We've been had since 1776. Today, I'm going to talk about the genocide of our troops. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I can talk about it. I've been overseas in different places. I can talk about it. And I'm going to talk about it. Somebody's got to doggone talk about the real thing that people don't want to talk about. And that's the genocide of our troops. Doggone it. and you're Paul Rykoff, a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, why is he still there? Why does not the veterans rise up and say, wait a minute, this one named Paul Rykoff, a so-called veteran, is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. That means he's a member of the enemy that's trying to kill you. Okay, I'll say it again. He's a member of the enemy that's trying to kill you. Literally. He's there, like Charlton Heston was, as a Freemason. Charlton Heston. In NRA. To slow you down. Pretend to be a patriot. And they're definitely not. Pretend to be a patriot. Out of my cold, dead hands. He's full of baloney. It's to slow you down. Paul Rykoff, a member of the leader of the director or organizer of the committee to curb suicides, is a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. It's documented. It's not anything I found by a private investigator or any of that stuff. It's documented. That means they don't care. That means they don't think you know about who the CFR really is. CFR. Who is the CFR? Well, let's put it like this. Documented. Doggone it. It's documented that the CFR literally, no exaggeration, no sensationalism, literally, the CFR is responsible for the blood shed of all the World War II veterans, of all the blood shed of the Korean veterans you blame on the Council of Foreign Relations, literally, literally, working with the communists, working with the Nazis, working with the enemy, working together. Another step toward the New World Order. To create dead bodies of veterans. By design. Now you want to challenge that, you go on ahead. You bring your Harvard professor of history. I will eat him up and spit him out. Because the history is not brought to you by the colleges. I've proven that too. The colleges are humanist. They're Marxist. Socialist. That's confirmed. The father of American education, John Stupid Dewey, was a humanist and a pagan. Horace Mann was no better. Dr. Chester Pierce, one evil individual, 1972, I've given you the quotes. I'm not holding anything back today. And you want to challenge it, I wish you would. Please do. It's time somebody stepped up and started speaking out there that has some kind of control, some kind of clout, some kind of influence, and stop being a coward. You know? Anyway, I'm going to dedicate the broadcast before I get started. I'm not started yet. I'm just getting warmed up. God put a lot of my heart to talk about today, and He tells me as I go along. That's where I'm at today. But I'm going to unleash today, as I have, well, what else is new? Anyway, I got another tack I'm going to take on this. We'll see how this tack does today. And I got people listening to me that sometimes say, Tommy, getting off track. And I say, oh, okay. I do sometimes. I got rabbit trails I head down to try to over-explain something. And that is a fault I have. I'm trying to correct that. But I go with my heart when I talk. I don't have any agenda. I don't belong to nobody. I don't sign petitions. I don't belong to organizations. None of that. Nothing holds me back. Somebody described me as a loose cannon. I said, you darn right I am. I got a 360-degree turn. I'll shoot any direction I want to go. Because nobody holds me back. Except the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the old different ballgame. Family will dedicate the broadcast, and then I'm going to hit another direction. And I'm hoping for no interruptions today. I'm hoping that we can get through today without any problems, issues or technical things, whatever. But today I'm going to try different directions, see what we got. How's that? Lord, we thank you tonight, this afternoon. Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have, Lord, to speak out. Lord, I pray today the Holy Spirit comes upon us. I pray, Lord, that you direct us all, guide us around in the right path, Lord. Lord, I dedicate this program to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, that his return is soon. That no one knows the day or the hour of his return. That, Lord, that we know that only you know the day and the hour of the return. And Father, I pray today with the blood of Jesus that you protect us from any kind of interruptions today. That there's no interruptions, there's no stoppage. Then, Lord, you'll touch your hearts and give insight to those listening. And the opportunity for those listening to pass the words. And Father, for the truth to come out in these respects. And the Father, to put a bind upon Satan and his demons. Because we know this is supernatural war. And protect us from their influence. Father, we pray for an awakening in these churches. And to bring those preachers out of their control of the government through the 501c3 and the National Council of Heretical Churches that they got today and the World Council of Churches, Father, to shut them down. We call upon you, Lord, with your warring angels. We call upon you to strip down the protection of those, the Wicca. The Wicca in the government, the Wicca in the military, and the Wicca in the business industry, to tear down their protection. And Lord, that you only know the heart. That Lord, for those that you know the heart of, that you can bind the Holy Spirit to their heart and to pull them out of these dismal organizations and movements to lead them toward Jesus Christ also. But for those, Father, you know the reprobate mind, that you put a bind upon them to move them away and to save those that you know the heart will pull them in. Father, protect their families and guide their families to come together. Protect their children from the lies and the humanist approaches of these schools. And to touch the hearts and minds of these teachers out there to go against what they've been told to do and start preaching the truth, teaching the truth, and get out of this humanistic approach that they're taking. And to give power to these PTA meetings to bring the parents out and to get them to come together to demand the truth be told in the schools. For the parishioners of the churches, Lord, to tell the preachers to demand the King James Bible be used. And to chase Satan out of these churches. And for to bring an awakening to this country. That this country will be a beacon to the world for revival to take place before those end times begin. And Father, we pray today, we also pray for our enemies as our friends to strengthen these families. For the Masons and the secret societies to renounce their blood oaths, that they're no longer under bondage of Satan. The veterans to come together to know what the truth is. To know who the real enemy is. For those in the hospitals to be saved. Those in the nursing homes to be protected. Because they're being targeted also, Lord, by this agenda. The rehab centers and the mental institutions, Lord, to get the demons out of there. And those in prison, Lord, that are incarcerated, that, Lord, you bring the Spirit of God to them. In a dream, in a cellmate, in a preacher there, wherever it may take. And Father, to know that your scripture stands. That word needs to be put out. That the only solution, the Father, that needs to be said is in the scriptures of, if my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal the land. And Father, we know that's the only way this land will be healed. Father, we need help supernaturally. It's gone too far, too long. But thy will be done. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You remember, before I jump into what I'm getting ready to talk about, in the scriptures it talks about the Jews returning back to their homeland. You know among those will be the Hebrew Jews. Now tonight, in Bible study, I'm going to talk about the lost tribes, which there's no such thing as lost tribes. They know where they are. They know who they are, and God's got them hidden and protected. Hitler couldn't find them. Herod couldn't find them, and ain't nobody going to find them until 144,000 comes up, and surprise, surprise, surprise. God's chosen people at the time, Hebrew Jews, are going to come out. And America, you ain't it. We're Gentiles. You got a problem with that? Get a blood transfusion. We are Gentiles. But to all of us, we're all equal now because of Jesus. Jews and Gentiles alike. That's not the point. The point is, the return of the Jews to the homeland is in the scriptures yet to happen. Israel there today is not the real Israel. Ashkenazi, Khazars, tribe of Dan, it's another story entirely. I'll probably talk about that tonight. These are fake Jews in Israel today, but it's still part of the prophecy of a place for them to go back to. Even though it's British Israel, a colony of England, or UK, controlled by the Vatican. Well, that's another story. I found an article. Israel approves a $46 million plan to absorb all European Jews following the Muslim terror attacks. Now, we know the Muslim terror attacks are controlled by the Vatican, and they're controlled by the secret societies, and all the intelligence agencies working together controls the Muslim terror attacks. The Muslim Brotherhood was created by the Vatican in the 1920s through Albani, a Freemason Egyptian. The Vatican created Zionism in 1897, Theodore Herzl. The Vatican created Islam as a religion in the 6th and 7th century. And the Vatican, with their church fathers, they were Arab, trained, brought up Muhammad the Prophet from 6 years old to 25 years old. They brought up Muhammad the Prophet. The Vatican church fathers of the 8th and 9th century. How about that, huh? Married him off to a Arab nun. People don't know this. Muhammad the Prophet is the same bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II through King Edward IV. That's been documented. Arabs know that, but you people in the UK don't. I think it's kind of funny, actually. He's the royal bloodline, by the way. Going back to Ishmael. Going back to Pharaohs of Egypt. Hagar. Boy, I tell you, it gets stickier and stickier. When you do your research, it's amazing what you find. But here's the point. The Jews are heading back to Israel now. They're setting it up. Family, we're close. Articles, nonsense like this one, quote, Did Barack Obama create ISIS after failing to establish Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt? What an asinine, stupid article that was. The Muslim Brotherhood was created in the 1920s by the Vatican. ISIS doesn't even exist. I proved that last week. Can't blame it on Obama. Obama's just like Clinton and Carter and Bush and all the rest of them, Reagan and Nixon, the whole darn lot of them, FDR, they're all in the same family. They've all tried to put you down, all of them. Every single one of them are part of the Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, that's right. Cheney, too. He's a cousin as well. Ancestry.com and Burke Peerage confirms Cheney, Kerry, Bush, Clinton. They're all cousins of the same bloodline with Queen Elizabeth II. Y'all hearing me? And I hope you don't believe me. And I hope you say, I'm going to find out myself. Hey, you go find out. You watch what happens. Now, I double dog dare you to do that. I dare you to do it. The time y'all did your own work, find things out, pray about it, get the Holy Spirit to lead it. Family, it's time to take control and get away from the TV. Because the TV is designed to keep you out of control and keep you in the alpha state of mind and brainwashed beyond imagination. That's what it's for. And boy, it's a working something awful. Working, working, working. Well, I know I kind of started kind of slow a little bit today, but I like to get people's attention. But I do it with facts. I don't do it just sensationalize or hear what I know and hear what I can. Anybody, anything I know, anybody can find out. I just took the time to do it. That's all. You got a picture here, for example, of there's Obama, there's Hillary, and there's some other folks in the Wailing Wall thing, whatever. And it says the Hillary Clinton presidency will absolutely be Obama's third term and continuation of the Islamization of America. Oh, my gosh. It's not about Islamization of America. It's called the New Age. Islam and Zionism will destroy each other in World War III. These people don't have a clue what's really going on. It's these asinine misdirections that really drive me crazy. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story here. If I can get this right, it's in my head. I'm going to tell you a little story. And might want to pay a little bit of attention because it may appear to not be connected to the genocide of our military, but it's very, very, very connected. And you'll see why when I get going here. Especially, this is being told to the military commanders as if they're listening. Chiang Kai-shek, born 1887, died 1975. He was a Chinese nationalist leader in China. He completed military training with the Japanese Army. He returned to China in 1911. Took part in a revolution against the Manchus. He was active 1913 to 1916 and in attempts to overthrow the government, Yuan Shikai. And when Sun Kai-sin established in 1917 the Gangzhou government, Chiang served as a military aide. 1923 is sent to the Sun by the Sun to USSR, study military organization and to seek aid for the Gangzhou regime. Now, remember, I'm leading up to something. I'm giving you a history lesson or whatever research I've done. I'm leading up to a major smack right in the face point when I get to it. I'm just going to set it up for you. It may take me 30 minutes, but I got the time. I got 4 more days this week. Now, Chiang Kai-shek here, when he returned, he was appointed commandant of the established Whampoa Military Academy, 1924. He grew more prominent in the Kuomintang after the death of Sun Yat-sen in 1925. Now, around 1926, before our depression, and about the same time, listen to me, about 1926, about the same time that FDR, before he was a president, Woodrow Wilson was there, and FDR, working with Churchill, and the Japanese elite, was planning Pearl Harbor in 1920s. Yamamoto was an ensign going to Harvard at the time, was a go-between, since he was a member of the royal family, to take their plans back to Japan. Then he returned back as an aide in the late 20s, around 1926, 27, 28, to make about 3, 4, 5, 6 years or so in America as an ensign. Yamamoto, you know Yamamoto, right? Admiral, later, that led the attack on Pearl Harbor? That was no coincidence. So FDR, well, his assistant, I think, what was assistant secretary, or it's one of those, if I recall, he was assistant under Woodrow Wilson. They say your memory is the first to go. But not really. He was assistant secretary, I believe, of the Navy around this period of time, and he was really upset with, according to his own diary, our slowness entering World War One. He wanted to get in World War One fast. He had been in constant conflict with his chief secretary of the Navy, Joseph Daniels, over that very issue. He wanted to aggressively get into World War One. He was also upset with Woodrow Wilson, him being dupey and slow, about getting us into the war. That's FDR. Oh, it's another story. So Chiang Kai-shek, about the time when they're planning Pearl Harbor, our government, Japanese and the British government, planning Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. You heard me right. We'll make sure you understand that. He launched the Northern Expedition. He led the victorious National Army into Hankou, Shanghai, and Nanjing, and he just taking things over, you know. He controlled the Kuomintang, and in 1928 he became head of the national government, Nanjing, and General Lee Sin Mo of all national, Chinese national, I didn't say communist, I said national forces. Uninterrupted power as leader in the nationalist government, he was. So when the Sino-Japanese War merged with World War II, his international prestige increased. He attended Cairo Conference in 1943 with FDR, that murderer, and Winston Churchill, that murderer, Knights of Malta. FDR was a Freemason. Winston Churchill was a Knight of Malta. Winston Churchill, according to real historians, literally has been what's the word I'm trying to use here? Named as the one that should be charged for murder for all those aboard the Lusitania. Colin Simpson said, in the book on the Lusitania, I quote, about Churchill, May the 7th, 1915, what he did to the people aboard the Lusitania, that evil individual. Colin Simpson said, and I quote, it was the foulest act of willful murder ever committed on the high seas, unquote. Churchill, working with J.P. Morgan, set up the Lusitania to die. to get us into war. It's all confirmed. Rockefeller's made $200 million in World War I on the blood of our soldiers. Now, y'all putting all this together now? Start connecting dots now. Start connecting the dots. Start connecting the dots. Now, I'm going to make sure I get back on track here because I got a lot to tell you today. I'm going to try to make it simple. And as easy going as I can, because I get sometimes a little fired up when I do my research on this, but because of what I know. He gets with FDR and Winston Churchill. Both of them are murderers. He and his third wife, Sun Myling, was international symbols of China at war. But Chiang was criticized by Allied officers, notably Joseph W. Stilwell, and argument raised over the international internal policies and conduct of the war. Another side note. Guess who funded fully the Bolshevik Revolution in the early 1900s? Guess who did it? America did. We did. We funded the Communist Revolution. Bolshevik. We did. Wall Street. Anthony Sutton confirms that. You got that? And guess who gave the documents necessary to Karl Marx to plagiarize a document called the Communist Manifesto? You heard me right. I did not make a mistake. The Freemasons did. Knights of Malta, the secret societies. And guess where he got it from? From Clinton Roosevelt, 1841. An ancestor to FDR. How about that? The science of government founded on natural law was what Clinton Roosevelt wrote. Passed it to Karl Marx, who plagiarized it, and he called it the Communist Manifesto, to be used to set up communism and fascism, Karl Ritter, at the same time, in the 1850s. Yeah. So that's where that comes. And then, early 1900s, we funded the Bolshevik Revolution. It's all set. So it's communism, Americans, British, whatever, against the Nazis and the fascists. Oh, that was World War II, right, wasn't it? Yeah. The communists were on our side, weren't they? They were allies, were they not? Even though Stalin murdered millions, Churchill murdered millions, and Churchill, Stalin, Queen Elizabeth II, and Adolf Hitler were second cousins of the Merovingian bloodline. Fact. So you so-called military historians, are you twisting your seat? Are you getting upset? Or are you just kind of just going to go away? Because I'm just getting started. Now, you see all the background of this thing? So then by the 1900s, it's all set up and they get funded. The Bolshevik Revolution is funded through Wall Street fully. In 1928, guess who funds the Nazi Party? IG Farben, chemical cartel. But guess where they get their money from? Where's that Jeopardy sound? No, I won't play that. That's corny. Yep, Wall Street funded the Nazi Party. 100%. Quote, Anthony Sutton, without the capital supplied by Wall Street, there would have been no IG Farben in the first place, and almost certainly no Adolf Hitler in World War II, unquote. No one has ever refuted that, Anthony Sutton. So now you get in the picture here? You so-called historians out there and so-called military strategists or whatever you want to call yourselves, you better get your heads out of your butts and get with it. Speaking only to the strategists and the so-called historians out there. Now, watch what happens. Now, all this background being laid down, and I've never done this before. I've never given you this much of history about Chiang Kai-shek. But there's a reason why I'm doing it. Because I'm going to slam dunk you here in a minute. So we got World War II going on. And after the war ended, Chiang Kai-shek failed to achieve a settlement with the communists. So we're now done with fascism, Nazism, right? Created by the Vatican anyway. But now we're done with them. They're no longer an enemy. We defeated Nazi Germany, didn't we? Didn't we defeat Nazi Germany? We did. Well, did we? I mean, if we defeated Nazi Germany, why in the world did we bring 10,000 of them, of their specialists, military, psychologists, rocket science, von Braun, God knows what else, chemists, military experts, propaganda ministers and experts, whatever, 10,000 of them, family, and their families, family, yeah, so over 10,000 Germans that were in the Nazi, in the enemy territory, enemy side, killing our troops. We brought the leaders over here in America and Argentina, including Hitler. They didn't take Hitler and say, oh, we killed him and we put him overboard in a deep sea grave like they did that lie about Obama. No, they brought Hitler over. Hitler did not kill himself. Hitler was a second cousin. He got a little crazy on him, but he didn't do what he was supposed to have done. But his cousin. So he brought him over to Argentina and moved him up to America. For those that's really going to research, why don't you have a little fun? Why don't you look up Merkel and her bloodline and see what you get? And so Hitler comes over and 9,999 other Nazis come over and set up house. Help set up the UN. Help set up the half of CIA and the rocket NASA program. But they lost the war, you know. Well, they had the Nuremberg trials. Please, don't even go there with that one. That's too funny. But they lost the war, even though 10,000. You know, 10,000 plus the families? That's almost the size of a small town in any given state. Y'all getting a picture here? Operation Paperclip. Look it up. Now, that being said, we're moving into, we don't have any enemies, do we? Whoa, no enemies. We can have peace. No Nazi. After all, they're here anyway. No fascist. They're Mussolini, gone. But we're not free. What happened? We have another enemy. Just like Patton said, let's keep going because we're going to fight them anyway. The commies, 1950s. That must just turn bad on us, huh? That's a bad break. Of course, it wasn't planned now, was it? Am I being facetious? Absolutely. Of course, it was planned. You always have an enemy, always got to have an enemy. The best way to control people is a war. You don't have enemies, you make them. You know what determined that? 1909. Carnegie Peace Foundation did a study in 1909 of how to control people. And they did it for a year and found out the best way to control people was war. Norman Dodd read the minutes of the meeting for his Iron Mountain Report study research. 1909, he was able to see the minutes of that meeting, 1965, 66. I'm not reports, another story. I'm not going there. It's a side trail. Now, so we're up to 1949, 1950. Oh, 49. Oh, that's the time to take down America. That's the time of the UN and the CIA and all that. Now, so we art at 1949, 1950. And this one, it really gets interesting. Now, I've done this on purpose, not for a history lesson. But like I said, I'm heading toward an end point here. To give you the impact of something I've said all along, I want you to see the impact of this that leads up to veteran genocide. And y'all better listen. Of those that's in control, of those that's trying to pick and choose my facts and try to find a clink in my armor, you ain't going to do it. I'm going to slam dunk it here in a minute. Chiang Kai-shek is not getting along with the commies. Civil War continued. 1948, Chiang Kai-shek became the first president elected under a new liberalized constitution then. He resigned. However, his moderate vice president, Jin Ling Sao Chin, it's like something in a restaurant. Anyway, attempted to negotiate a truce with the commies. Talks failed, of course. So in 1949, Chiang Kai-shek resumed leadership of the Kuomintang to oppose the communists. To oppose the communists. They were sweeping into South China in strong military forces, reducing the territories held by the nationalists. Y'all getting the point here now? What's taking place? So by 1950, Chiang and the nationalist government were driven from the mainland of island of Taiwan. That's where they placed themselves. And the ones loyal to him went with him. Taiwan is also Formosa. So you see why China and Formosa don't get along, Taiwan. U.S. aid had been cut off on Taiwan, and Chiang Kai-shek took firm command, established a virtual dictatorship himself. He reorganized his military forces. U.S. aid resumed with the start of the Korean War. Then, what he did, he instituted limited democratic political reforms. He wasn't such a good guy, but he was nationalist. He was anti-communist, obviously. But I can understand why he formed a dictatorship, because you don't know who's on his side and who's not. Now, I'm getting to the point, and all this has been setting up a major point I'm getting ready to make. He continued to promise reconquest of the Chinese mainland, and at times, he landed national guerrillas on the China coast. And often, to the embarrassment of the United States. Why would it be embarrassing? Would we not be against communists too? We were all through the 60s now, weren't we? And I think China killed a whole lot of our veterans in Korea. You think? Yeah. His international position was weakened considerably when you talk about 1971, but United Nations expelled his regime and accepted the communist as the sole legitimate government in China in 1971. He remained president until his death in 75. Now, let's go back to 1950. What they don't tell you in history is what I'm going to tell you now. So the nationalist government is in Formosa and Taiwan. And what they want to do, they want to go back to China. And who's our enemy? Communists are our enemy. In Korea, hello, and Vietnam, and all the way up to 1987, the communists were our enemy. Right? Nuclear war, et cetera, et cetera. 68,000 or so Vietnam vets were casualties of deaths in Vietnam of our soldiers. 600,000 suicides since 1975 to 2012 from Vietnam vets only. Cancer from Agent Orange, which was induced, by the way. God knows how many have died from cancer from that. We found by design, using the barrels as Agent Orange's shower heads. Is that the Joint Chief of Staff lobotomized idea? Or are they just plain stupid back then? Using Agent Orange barrels for showers. As putting water and making showers out of them. Is that some harebrained geek's idea from the military? Or some general just gets stupid and not think about it? I can't imagine. Boy, I tell you, that really, really... How many veterans... Oh, I can't go there. Anyway. So let's go back now to my slam dunk. You got the picture? So Chiang Kai-shek wants to go back to China to make it free China. Democratic China. He established dictatorship for Formosa for his own protection. So it won't be infiltrated by the Chinese. Communist. But what Chiang Kai-shek didn't know, the communists are being orchestrated by the Vatican and helped by the U.S.-American policy. And watch this. So that's where we are, 1950. And Chiang Kai-shek has got a 500,000 men, 500,000, 500,000 fired up South Koreans that won't, Chinese that wants to go back home. I'd say they're a little bit motivated, wouldn't you? Well, here's what happened. What happened was this. As in World War II, the Chicago Tribune blamed the Council on Foreign Relations for the ill-advised entry in the first police action. December the 9th, 1950, in an article by the Chicago Tribune, said, and I quote, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, the Korean War." So now you can understand when it said that what's interesting is to note that Formosa, or Taiwan, was ready and willing to cross the channel and retake Red China. The American forces, with General Puller, Marines, flanked by Army, was heading north, baby. They were heading north to North Korea and were going to rout them out, and North Korea would be free too. No commies in Korea. And they were doing it too. They were bearing down, man, on North Korea. Heading straight on into China, man, later. But something happened. The fact that they were getting ready to take it was the problem for the Vatican. Because if they had, they had no enemy for the 60s and 70s. They had no Cold War. So they took action using behind the scenes rules of engagement to ensure the outcome of the battle. Not based on strategy, but based on secret influence to fulfill their agenda, just like they're doing today and have in every single war since 1776. Here's what they did in Korean War. The communists, according to policy of the Vatican, the State Department, must not be removed from power. And General Douglas MacArthur said, and I quote, from his own words, begin quote, "The possibility of Red China's entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize," that means block, Formosa, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men. Unquote. General MacArthur. To get no more credible than that. So according to the untold story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman, who was a puppet like Obama, like Bush, like Clinton, like, what's the other peanut farmer? Oh, Carter, FDR, Nixon, Ford, the whole dirt lot of them, every one of them, little puppets, every single one of them. Not only did Truman declare it was against American policy for the free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he also ordered our own American fleet, forces, navy, our fleet, our navy, in the Straits of Formosa to blockade Chiang Kai-shek and stop him from retaking Red China. We're pushing the Koreans back into Red China. And then Chiang Kai-shek was going to flank them. And they had been done, man. The Communist Party had been zapped. It was like a bug on flypaper, man, be stepped on. It'd been done. No more war. No more dead in Vietnam. No more need to go to Vietnam. Because there wouldn't have been no communists there. We'd have taken it if we'd had it. The French would have taken it. No, that was not to happen. We made sure, using our Navy against our own troops to blockade a 500,000 fired up Chinese wanting back their own country. They're motivated, they're eager, and they're ready to fight, baby. They're ready to fight. We blockaded them. With our own Navy. Pretty much working against their own troops in Korea. For the most part. So protected by the American Navy, China was free to send its soldiers to reinforce North Korea, aid in the attack on the South. Nine Chinese divisions of them, man. The 25th to 26th Infantry, I believe it was. They're like, what in the world? They left weapons, left equipment. They boogied, man. They left and went back to the rear running. Whole flanks of the Marines were left open. Puller was surrounded. Chosen frozen. And you know, Chiang Kai-shek wasn't done. Since he couldn't fight China without first getting through the U.S. Navy, Chiang Kai-shek offered the use of his troops to fight in South Korea. Okay, whatever reason, you're blockading me. All right, I'll give you 33,000 troops to help you in South Korea. In MacArthur's own diary, he wrote, and I quote, "The Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after the North Koreans crossed the 30th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. The suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United States force, but the American government would not tolerate such a move," unquote. Douglas MacArthur. So whatever happened to strategy? Rules of engagement affects the outcome of every war. It's not strategy. It's not firepower. It's not close supply. It's not troop maneuvering. None of that stuff you learn in school. None of that stuff you learn from experience will work when the rules of engagement are set to make you lose. You generals better understand this. You colonels, How come y'all can't band together and figure this out and make something happen? You majors, you're being lied to. You lieutenants are being put up as cannon fodder. You're not allowed to win because there's a bigger picture going on holding you back. It's not about strategy. It's not about superior equipment. It's not about supply chain and all that stuff. It's all for nothing because the outcome of the war is determined before the battle is even fought. Already determined the outcome. When you have a false flag, and that's every war, well, doggone it. How about this? We'll do this. We'll do this. This will suffice, I believe.
Well, you know.
Okay, here we go. Diphthong Korea was like 2 to 4 million people. 5 million were displaced in South Korea by itself. Vietnam. Robert McNamara.
And events afterwards showed
Vietnam War.
Our judgment that we'd been attacked that day was wrong.
Gulf of Tonkin. They lied.
It didn't happen.
False flag.
I referred to it as another sinking of the Maine.
Suggesting Wayne Morse.
Well, you know what the best historical advice is in regard to the sinking of the Maine. It was a deliberate act on the part of the United States to have an excuse to go to a war against Spain. The Gulf of Tonkin was in a deliberate, aggressive act on the part of the Johnson administration to justify making war against North Vietnam.
What do y'all want? How much is it going to take for you commanders to realize you're being taken for fools? How many more has to die before you have the... So, the war in Korea was a United Nations police action. False flags are used to get us into a war. A false flag. I mean, it's set up to get us into a war. Well, if that's the case, that means this war was pre-planned. If it's pre-planned, that means they're going to determine the outcome. It's already determined before you fight the darn war. So if a battle gets out of hand, like you're winning, they're going to throw a little wrench in it to slow it down. They're going to slow your supply down. They're going to stop the advance of one unit. They're going to shut down your communications. They will sacrifice our own troops to fulfill the order of the New World Order and your secret societies, your generals, your colonels that are members of the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, are your enemy because they work for the Vatican according to the blood oath they've taken. That's how tactics really work. You want to challenge that? I wish you would. By agreement between UN member states, the position held in the UN at that time in 1950s and 60s was held by communists. And we still fought under it, right? And during the Korean War, it was Konstantin Zinchenko of Russia. So could it be that the Russian UN undersecretary was relaying American battle plans to Moscow? Moscow sending the plans to North Korea? Well, MacArthur said, and I quote, "I ordered General Stettmeyer, Chief of the Air Force, to employ B-29s on the following morning to destroy the Yalu bridges, cut this easy line of communication between Manchuria and North Korea. An immediate dispatch came from the Secretary of State, George Marshall, countermanding my order and directing me to, quote, postpone all bombing of targets within 5 miles of the Manchurian border, unquote. Rules of engagement determined the outcome of this war. rules of engagement determine the outcome of World War II. We didn't win World War II. We brought the enemy over here. How do you win a war when you bring the enemy to you? And you set them up in houses and say, now, enjoy. But in the meantime, help us build the CIA. Help us build the UN. Help us build your rocket program. And welcome. Say what? That's what happened. It was obvious the State Department was acting on behalf of someone other than the American military. There's a North Korean official. He claimed that he had promises from Washington. MacArthur would not attack him. General Lin Pao, he said, and I quote, "I would never have made the attack and risked my men." You got that? "If I had not been assured that Washington would restrain General MacArthur from taking adequate retaliatory measures against my line of supply and communication." See, General Lin, unquote, General Lin Pao was a general in the Red Chinese Army. He had fought against the United States and Korea. You know, you had some congressman back then that had some kind of, I want to say a word, but I can't say it on the air. Courage. It was Joseph Martin. He had a lot of dismay at the administration's apparent desire not to win the war in Korea by not allowing the bombing of strategic military targets. He said, and I quote, Joseph Martin, "If we're not in Korea to win, this administration should be indicted for the murder of thousands of American boys," unquote. Does that sound familiar? Bush, Clinton, Obama, FDR, it's all the same. They all work for the Vatican. The Vatican works for the Illuminati. The Italian Illuminati. It ain't Jews. Christian identity? Man, get your cult cleaned up. It's not the Jews, darn it. It's the Italian Illuminati. Breakspear, Aldo Brandini, Medici, Giorgi. And they ain't you. And you know they had a planned defeat in North in Vietnam. You heard it from McNamara. An interview. Gulf of Tonkin never happened. Sink of the Maine was a false flag. So that means they had a false flag. The outcome of the war is already determined. So all your times at Command Staff College, TBS, AWS, is worthless. When you're not allowed to win, how are you going to win the darn war by tactics, maximum firepower, supply lines, and all that stuff you learn and spend years doing? It's not going to win the war because you're not allowed to. This, to me, as a military strategist that I am, and a terrorist advisor at the State Department, project manager for intelligence project in the Congo I was, in the Kosovo, I was a security manager for the rebuilding of the infrastructure in Kosovo. In 1999, 2004, had the entire eastern region my control. Had five of us, OSCE. I had security force I developed myself. Saudi Arabia, I was there 4 years when they attacked us. Bin Laden's first attack on American was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. November 13th, 1995. I was on the boots on the ground. February the 9th, 1996. Set up security for the ones attacked. I did that. I was the one that set up the armed security civilian force in Kuwait when we pulled out in 1994. I came in to set up security. I did that. So I'm not talking off the top of my head for nothing. I ain't just... didn't fall off the turnip truck. I've been in the middle of it. Now, I'm just telling you that because I know what Dickens I'm talking about. And I'm angry. Sort of. And when I start telling these things, I get into it, it affects me more than when I started doing the research on it. Because I see it personal. Because I'm a former U.S. Marine. I studied tactics. I trained people in tactics. and to know that's worthless, to learn that, when the war is already determined. The outcome of the war is determined before you ever have the war. There's something wrong with this inherently. Something is dead wrong. It's wrong. And nobody's doing anything about it. Same thing happened to Vietnam. Dr. Anthony Sutton said, and I quote, "The guns, ammunition, weapons, transportation systems that killed Americans in Vietnam came from the American subsidized economy of the Soviet Union." Unquote. Admiral Sharp talks about Vietnam and how it's controlled by rules of engagement. We helped the Soviet bloc countries supply the VC to kill our own troops. Vietnam War, Korean War, World War II, World War I, sinking of the Maine, Lusitania, Civil War, for goodness sake. The Civil War was... Oh. Had the French on one side, La France, had the Germans, Yavoo, on the north side, to monitor, to make sure we fought each other and killed each other. And they helped do it. They worked for the Vatican. President Lincoln said, and I quote, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery." Popery? The Pope? Jesuits, you got it? Okay. "We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of the noblest sons. Though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery, neither Jeff Davis nor any of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not realized on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy and the money and the arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France," which is on the side of the South, by the way, "were at the disposal if they would attack us." Unquote. You'll find that in the 50 Years in the Church of Rome by Charles Chitney. 1885, copyright, page 388. I got evidence. Am I getting across to anybody? JFK, and I'm going to transition here, picked up on this. He was the one that helped form the SEAL teams from the UDT. Really, two different training. Two different groups, really. A UDT guy, you know, SEALs that are really into the SEAL team will tell you a UDT is different. So Ventura, that liar that he is nothing like a SEAL. Not even close. He can't even claim to be one. He's not even American. He's another traitor like the rest of them are. JFK formed up the SEALs, getting into Vietnam. And something happened to JFK, 61, 62, I don't know. He said, "Nope, we're not going to Vietnam. I'm going to start taking people out. Nope, I'm going to back our money with silver. Nope, I'm going to stop the Israelis from building a nuclear facility in Dimona. I'm going to get rid of the Federal Reserve. Oh, I'm going to get rid of the CIA." And they said, "That boy got to go." And he wasn't a Freemason, by the way, and neither was Clinton. Well, now you sort of got the idea now. Yeah, change your heart. So, and the Bay of Pigs, excuse me, I'm sorry, the missile crisis, even Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, they realized that those pictures was bogus. I've got a quote from Robert Kennedy about that. I'm not going to read it. There's a quote. I got quotes, everything. the negotiation, how they're going to pull that off and all that. And they didn't see any U.S. missiles there in the CIA briefing. They pretty much had to take the word for the CIA that they were there. Because in the quote that Robert Kennedy gives in his book, he says, man, quote, I was relieved to hear later that this, okay, quote, I, for one, had to take their word for it. I examined the pictures carefully, and what I saw appeared to be no more than the clearing of a field for a farm or basement of a house. I was relieved to hear later that this was the same reaction of virtually everyone at the meeting, including President Kennedy, unquote. Interview, Kennedy said, quote, I think we spawned, constructed, entirely fabricated, without knowing it, the Castro movement, unquote. He figured it all out. Castro was a 7-year Jesuit. Y'all getting the point here? All right. Now I've said my piece on that to show you, to try explain to somebody that hopes listening of what's really determining the outcome of these wars. And your members in the Department of Defense and others are working against you, and you don't know about it because you got top secret classifications. Not to keep away from KGB and all these, but to keep away from lower level officers of the same country. That'd be us. That's how it really works. Our own Department of Defense and secret society members are working against their friends that they have barbecues with. You understand this? How can I be more clear? How will we get across to people this? How? Y'all just going to let this happen? You know, can you imagine this? Can you imagine? Really? Okay, imagine. Imagine this. You go into a briefing room. Everybody's got a colonel and a general, and everybody's all, how are you, colonel? I'm doing fine, general. Yes, we're doing great, doing good. You got your parking place? Yeah, I got it. Okay, so all sit down in a really big meeting and got generals over here and colonels over there. They're discussing attacks and going on in Iraq and Afghanistan and move your regiment over here and your division over there and all this and all that. Or even Korea, the same thing. Or Vietnam, the same thing. We got it all together? Yeah, you got your, yeah, we got this, we got that, we're going to launch our attack, and da, da, da. That means absolutely nothing. Because when you start to win, if it's not in the agreement of the CFR with the Vatican, you ain't going to win. You're going to be slowed down, stopped, the supply chain will be disrupted, something will happen, whatever. All your tactics goes right out the window because the determination has already been made who's going to win, lose, or draw. It's already done. Before you even go to the briefing, before you even go to the briefing, the outcome of the war is already determined because of the false flag. You understand this? So the false flag was in 1776. The false flag was Civil War. The false flag was in every single war we've ever been in since 1776. We never won a Revolutionary War. We got in debt in 1789. They made King George III as Prince of the United States of America Incorporated. We're still a colony. How'd you win that war? Then the Battle of New Orleans, they burned down our capital, for goodness sakes. No pun intended, capital, you got it. Tried to kill our presidents, our own government did. Andrew Jackson, Lincoln. Because they're ordered by the popery and the Freemasons. Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, etc., etc. That's how the world really is. But everybody plays a game. Goes along with the program. Don't rock the boat. I believe in rocking the darn boat. Now, you got results from that. You're going to catch Dickens for it. But it's what I have to do. I rock the boat. I'll always rock the boat. I always have, and I've called Dickens for it. But I'm not going to stop rocking the darn boat. It ain't going to happen. Somebody got to tell the truth. God's given me an opportunity on a network. and I'm going to continue. I don't know what kind of impact I make, if anything at all. I don't know. But I ain't stopping. I ain't stopped in 5 years. Don't plan on it now. Now. Okay. I hope I've made some kind of point here. But some of y'all understand the impact of what I'm saying. That everybody goes through this false notion that tactics, supply chain, superior firepower actually wins wars, when in reality it doesn't. How just incredible. The truth is that the wars are predetermined. The outcome of certain battles are already determined before you fight them. This is beyond military history. But this is proven. This is not theory either. This is not military history theory or whatever. This is a fact of what's really going on in the background. Well, let's see what we got here. So now you can understand, oh, this is the point I want to make, yes, of why our State Department that kowtows to the Vatican and the Illuminati wants to weaken our forces so we don't get too good at what we do, no matter how well you're trained. The outcome's already determined. Heading toward the New World Order and North American Union. You got it? From Nero to 9-1-1, Pearl Harbor, Gulf of Tonkin, Sinking the Maine, Lusitania. All of them are false flag operations. One scenario is repeated over and over and over. And the world keeps falling for the same darn lie. They stage a terror attack, a fire, explosion, something. Some uninvolved entity gets blamed for the carnage. And it goes back to millennial. Proven. False flag operations. That's how Satan works. Oh, I threw that in there, didn't I? You got propaganda, ignorance. War is a racket. I talked about this. Major General Smedley Butler wrote it. He said, and I quote, General Smedley Butler, Marine Corps, a real general, not the fake ones they got today, but a real general back then, General Butler, three Medal of Honor. He won three Medal of Honors. Three. He turned one down, says, no, I don't want that one because I don't deserve it. He turned it down. So technically he has three Medal of Honors, but he turned one down, so on record only two. He said, and I quote, I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service, and during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I helped make Mexico, especially Tampico, safe for American oil interests in 1914. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. And I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902-1912. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for American sugar interests, 1916, and I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies, 1903, and in China, 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went on its way unmolested, unquote. Smelly D. Butler, he wrote in War's Racket. Go look it up. Nero, Christians, and the Great Fire of Rome was a false flag to justify what Nero did to Christians, to blame them. Remember the Maine. Had a congressman tell you that was a false flag. Everybody knows it. Randolph Hearst. William Randolph Hearst, the mainstream media, Joseph Pulitzer, another Illuminati, William Randolph Hearst. Randolph Hearst and Rockefeller funded Billy Graham in 1949-1950 from the Lawrence Bell Memorial Fund to the National Council of Churches. Funded Billy Graham fully. William Randolph Hearst exaggerated, entirely fabricated stories of horrible conditions under Spanish rule. Is a lie. Always was. Sinking of the Maine was a false flag, is confirmed. Manchurian incident was a false flag. The Rostock fire in Germany, Adolf Hitler, 1933, was a false flag. The fake invasion of Blitzwitz in 1939, German covert operatives pretended to be Polish terrorists, seized a Glitchwitz radio station in German-Poland border, region of Silesia. Brought to abrupt halt, the program was, followed by frantic German voices announcing the Polish formation was marching toward town. They made another false flag. Details of it I can give you, but I'm moving on. The myth of Pearl Harbor. That's planned 1920s. Tested out by 161 American planes 1932. Yeah, they knew 10 years ahead. Heck, they ought to know 10 years ahead. They planned the darn thing in 1920s. Evidence is clear. Israeli terrorist cells uncovered in Egypt. They tried to murder. The Israelis tried to murder USS. I told you about that the other day. I'm excited. My mind just went just like that. Because USS Liberty. For 3 hours they bombed it. Tried to sink it. Wouldn't go down, would it? They were going to blame it on the Egyptians during the 67 war. 66. 67. There's another false flag that didn't really happen. Operation Northwoods. JFK period. They were going to propose a state-sponsored acts of terrorism on American soil. Robert John Kennedy, 1962, and U.S. Joint Chief of Staff, unanimously proposed state acts of terrorism on American soil against American citizens. Head of every branch of U.S. Armed Forces gave written approval to sink U.S. ships, shoot down, hijack planes, and gun down and bomb civilians in the streets of Washington, D.C. The idea was to blame self-inflicted terrorism on Cuba's leader, Fidel Castro. Operation Northwoods. Didn't take place. Failed to happen. The Gulf of Tonkin. McNamara confirms it was a false flag. Never happened. 1972. A unit from LAPD was going to assassinate Spiro Agnew. Republican convention, San Diego. Nixon had it planned out with the CIA. LAPD. Louis Tackwood, Glasshouse Tapes, confirms it. On the campaign floor, 1972, September, the plan was to orchestrate a riot on the campaign floor while Agnew was going to speak, and as a member of the unit LAPD was going to assassinate him as a sniper. And then following that little drama, which would have happened, would be bombings several days after, blaming the liberals, and they would take credit for it, thereby giving Nixon justification to declare martial law. And then I found out that he signed Executive Order 11647 about 7 or 8 months before that, February 1972, to divide the United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, for a UN administration. He had it all set up. Y'all better wake up out there. I got details for all of it. It's called false flags. If they've got false flags, that means they've got the end already determined. Hermann Göring said, and I quote, "Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia, nor in England, nor in America, nor in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it's the leaders of the country that determine policy. And it's always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether a democracy, a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That's easy. All you have to do is to tell them they're being attacked and denounce the pacifists for a lack of patriotism, exposing the country to a danger. It works the same in any country." Unquote. Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf, which is written for him, by the way, is a book forbidden in some countries, such as France, but he wrote, "In the size of the lie, there's always contained a certain factor of credibility. Since the great masses of the people will more easily fall victim to the great lie than to a small one. We brought 10,000 of them over here in 1945, 1948. Now you do the math on that one. Family, somebody better get the idea what's really going on here. I'm trying to present as much evidence as I can to show you what's really happening. And I think old Donald Rumsfeld explains it better than anybody. What a loser. But anyway. He said in a conference during the Iraq War, he said, and I quote, "There are known knowns. There are things we know that we know. There's known unknowns. That is to say that there are things that we know that we don't know. But there are also unknown unknowns. There are things we don't know," unquote. That's about the smartest thing he ever said in his life. There's your government, which is a cowtown to the other substandard governments in England, Russia, China, France, UK, Scandinavia, Norway, just name them, Australia, don't matter. They all kowtow to the Vatican. Secret societies to a new world order. Australians are being sacrificed. The Brits are being sacrificed by their own leaders. The Russians will be sacrificed by their own leader. China will too, because they work for the secret societies to lead to a new world order. That's the priority. And finally, just one more throw for our Revolutionary War. They had to give us that feeling of superiority, that we won the war. So they had to sacrifice their own troops, the British did, to make it look like we won on the battlefield. So when they did the negotiation to Paris Peace Treaty in 1783, we wouldn't even know about it. And man, some people don't know about it today. It's so secret. When King George was made the Prince of the United States of America, Incorporated, we had to pay the debt back in 70-year increments, 1879, 1859, 1929, and the end of 1999. You got it? You got those dates? Begin in 1789. So that would make it look like they lost. So you know what the Brits did to sacrifice their own British soldiers? They made them march straight into the guns of the Minutemen and whatever. They wear red coats. Man, you can't miss a red coat, man, if you're blind. Make sure they knew how to kill the leaders, and get them out there in front, wearing red coats. Killed 1,200 of them in Concord in April 19th, 1775. 1,200 of them died that justified the deployment. I mean, it looked like we won. So made sure we killed as many as possible. Didn't matter, because it did negotiation after the war anyway. Didn't matter who died. Didn't matter who wins, really. Had to make it look like we did, because we didn't. They just did it behind our back to placate us. This makes me mad. How come these historians can't figure this out? How come some colonel, general, whatever, everybody just goes along with it, man? Everybody just goes along with it. In the meantime, us veterans, if you've been in that war, somebody touched by it, we're used as cannon fodder. So were the Germans, so were the Italians, so were the Russians, so were the VC. We're all cannon fodder for the high-level secret societies controlled by the Illuminati, of which you can have to get the names. The names are easy. The family, they're all available. I've even got briefing charts to show their organization. I mean, it's not some unknown thing going on here. Well, anyway. So, our troops have been targeted for genocide to make way for the North American Union to be formed up so there'll be no resistance. Now, that's clear and simple of why. That's the easy answer. I've tried to spend now an hour and a half trying to explain that. I've done it now 2 days, I guess. I feel like I kind of have to. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong in it, but I'm trying to explain why they're allowing and orchestrating 26 suicides per day. Why? Why President Clinton, don't ask, don't tell, 1993, letting homosexuals come in the military? Let them get all into it. 20 years later, 25 years later, now you come out in the open. Now, do you think that would divide the services? Do you think that would divide platoons, squads, fire teams? Do you think that would separate people from working together and camaraderie and all that thing? You really think that might have an effect on people and they're supposed to be watching each other's back? This is formed in peacetime before you go to war. You have a camaraderie because it's called, what's the word? Oh, yeah, training. So what do you think about that? Think that that would be a problem, that would separate the services, make them weaken? Well, how about this then? Since Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, male-on-male rape has become epidemic in the U.S. military. You Joint Chief of Staff, you're all about the stupidest individuals I think I've ever run across in my life. Or you have absolutely no courage. What have you done? You got medals of honor, you've got Navy crosses, you've got Silver Stars, and you spit on them by doing what you do at the Joint Chief of Staff and CFR meetings. You don't deserve your medals. The other generals do, but they just want to get out and get away because they realize it's too big for them to change. But the ones of you that take the blood oath of Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, you don't deserve any medals because you're responsible for the death of our veterans. I charge you with murder. Willful murder. In late 2010, Congress used a lame duck session after the November elections. It overturned Don't Ask, Don't Tell and de facto banned on open homosexual behavior in the U.S. military. The reason they had this Don't Ask, Don't Tell, though, was in fact to divide the forces. That's the purpose of it. Sole purpose of it. With the plans later, either Bush or whoever was going to be appointed as president, to say now, okay, it's okay to come out in the public now. And then to bring women was set up by, and the frontline units was set up by Ruth Bader Ginsburg in 1977. To weaken U.S. combat forces. That's the purpose of it. The only purpose. Male-on-male rape. How's that an epidemic on a unit you're trained to work together and fight together? What's going on? U.S. Senator Scott Brown voted for it, but bragged it about voting for it in his television commercials when he ran for re-election. 2012, running for president, Mitt Romney, a cousin of George Bush. You got it? A cousin? Yeah, has another cousin there. That's correct. He told reporters that the repeal was working fine and he'd not attempt to reverse it. Brian Fisher, oh, another one, man, wrote a devastating article revealing that the politicians of both parties are now afraid to talk about. Male-on-male rape epidemic in Obama's pro-deviancy military. Obama's, it's the Vatican, it's not Obama. Obama's just a puppet like everybody else. See, even Brian Fisher ain't got a clue what's going on. Because he's part of the nonsense, too. You got him on both sides. Homosexuality is used to destroy our military. Feminism to use to destroy the country. According to Vladimir Lenin, who was trained by the communists, goes back to Adam Weishaupt. Destroy the family, you destroy the country. How do you destroy the family? Homosexuality. Feminism. This is how it really works. You want evidence? I got it. They're taking this whole thing, this whole plan, to reduce the effectiveness of our military. According to Daily Mail, a prominent newspaper in the UK, male-on-male rape in the United States military is reaching epidemic proportions. When a man enters the military, he's 10 times likelier to be sexually abused. In 2012, there was an estimated 14,200 reports of male rape. So a man who enlists the United States military is 10 times more likely to be on receiving end of sexual abuse if he remains a civilian population. So the risk of being raped jumps 1,000% by joining the military. Something's wrong with this picture. Something seriously wrong. Well, it's by design. That's my point. This is not accidental. This is not a trend. This is orchestrated. That is my main point. This one individual, I don't know him, so I'm not going to name him, between 2002-2007, said, quote, I'd actually let the assault go because I didn't want it to interfere with my career. That's what a woman would say. I didn't want to bring up, I just kept it silent so I wouldn't get kicked out of school. I kept silent so I wouldn't, other reasons. It's no different. Quote, I wanted to be an officer, but I just said, bad experience, won't let that happen again. But there was some residual damage. A month and a half later, I was brought into the room with about 9 officers and told, quote, you've tested positive for HIV. I was removed from the military, signed out within a day. It was a complete shock, unquote. Y'all know what's really going on out there? How our military forces are being targeted by our own country. Excuse me, by our own secret societies that are members, high-level staff, allowing this to happen. And the reasons why, I just told you today. Sexual assault is common in U.S. military, and More than half the victims are men. According to Pentagon, quote, 38 military men are sexually assaulted every single day. So 38 military men assaulted every day, according to Pentagon. 26 suicides per day. Uh-huh. How many receive HIV? Uh-huh. Now, do you think that might have an impact on our effectiveness to defend this country? And this is not a trick question. And you don't think the Joint Chief of Staff don't have a clue about this? Yeah, they should, because they're the ones making it happen. Should I say allowing it to happen? You know, men develop post-traumatic stress from sexual assault at nearly twice the rate that do from combat. Now you know why, when you did a study on suicides, that almost 80% were never deployed. So where's post-traumatic stress coming from? Do the math on that one. Now you know. I bet you if I was in the Coliseum and talk about this, I bet you could hear a pin drop. You know, military sexual trauma causes a particular toxic form of post-traumatic stress. The betrayal by a comrade in arms, and I'm going to tell you something you're not going to like here in a minute, I'm going to tell you anyway. But a comrade in arms, this ain't it. A brother whom you place unconditional trust can be unbearable. Warrior culture's value, stoicism, encourages a victim to keep his troubles to himself, stigmatize himself. If he doesn't, you have an implacable chain of command, demands a victim to work or sleep alongside an attacker, which makes them feel captive to his suffering and deserving of it. It's like being in prison with homosexuals. And you're supposed to be safe around them because you're going to fight together. And the excuse is, well, homosexuals can fight just like a straight male. Yeah, well, when you're not sexually assaulting your fellow fire team member, it causes a bit of a problem, don't it? Don't you think? Goes beyond workplace romance. Some of y'all don't have any idea how much I hold myself back when I talk on the radio. You have no idea. Because I'm from the old school of the Marines. And when I started finding this stuff out, I couldn't drink Jell-O out of a teacup with a straw. My jaw torqued so bad. And then I have just disdain for those generals that's in the Joint Chief of Staff. And the members of the Joint Chief and other members that go to the Council of Foreign Relations and briefs them. I don't think I'd ever advance past captain or major. They'd have me out of there so fast. Well, they did as a captain. I never did shut up. I never did kowtow to nobody. I'd obey orders, but as a commander, I felt it my responsibility to disagree as a commander with a major or a colonel that was a battalion commander. If I didn't agree with it, I'm going to express my thoughts on it. And I give reasons why. And to tell the truth, I'm not putting my men in danger. Unnecessary. Go fight and kill? Absolutely. Fight a war? Darn right. But when the general or the colonel's going to do something stupid, I'm going to say, wait, hold on a minute now. That's how I see it. As a commander, that is, it's your responsibility to take care of your men. What are the commanders doing today? Anyway. You know that sodomy is now a most favorite sexual proclivity, and President Obama was all of them, really. Military. Male victims of rape have no one to come to, but they never did, no matter what the president did or who he was. Excuse me. They have a small chance of getting justice if they do complain, and the macho attitude, they're not going to admit that they were raped by another man or several. They look at the career thing. Both sides are. So everybody just stays quiet and suffers or gloats, whichever the case may be, or just cower. The generals as Joint Chief of Staff. That's why an estimated 81% of victims never even report. 15,000 male to male and 12,000 male to female sexual assaults. How about that? So now my point is also this. I'll go a step further. When you have a sexual assault, sodomy, or rape, or whatever, you have an exchange of body fluids, do you not? Yeah. Well, here we're going to take a step further. When you exchange, whether it's child sexual abuse, or adultery, or rape, or whatever it is, you have an exchange of bodily fluids. Now you get into the supernatural. The life is in the blood. So demonic activity begins, and the portal's opened. Both parties are demonized. This is why you have many, many suicides as a result of rape and sexual promiscuity, because the supernatural effects that it has. Life is in the blood. Notice there's a lot of homosexual suicides. So suicides are always caused by post-traumatic stress from war. Now I really opened up a bag of worms on that one. Some of y'all will understand that. Some of you won't understand what I'm talking about. But those in spiritual warfare, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So this goes way beyond just a sexual assault. This goes into the soul of the individual and his possession by a demonic entity that results in his voices they hear and the suicides it's caused. Goes way beyond psychological. You know, there was illnesses which the VA attributed to military service. There's 15 illnesses caused to exposure to herbicides during the Vietnam War. You don't think the Joint Chief didn't know this? Acute, subacute, transit, peripheral neuropathy. What the dickens is that? Amyloidosis. Chloroneuropathy. Chronic lymphatic leukemia. Diabetes mellitus. Hodgkin's disease, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Porphyria cutansia tarda, whatever the dickens that is, P-R-P-O-R-P-H-Y-R-I-A-C-U-T-A-N-E-A-T-A-R-D-A, prostate cancer, respiratory cancers, soft tissue sarcoma, list about six of them here, B-cell leukemia, Parkinson's disease, ischemic heart disease, and I'm going to add one to it. They have mentioned here. Guillain-Barré syndrome. Had a friend that, interestingly, died of a heart attack. He was hardcore, man, in helping the veterans back in the 90s. I called one day when I came back from Kosovo, and his wife said, well, he's not with us. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, so where can I call him? She said, no, Tom, he's not with us. Oh. He died of a heart attack at a young age. Anyway, he'd showed me, actually sent me documents and reports he'd gotten. that Guilfoyle syndrome was a virus. Viruses connected to the HIV that they created in Fort Detrick, Maryland. Huh. Depleted uranium. You don't think they didn't know about depleted uranium when it activates when it's impacted? They made 100 tanks with depleted uranium as the outer shell of the tank. How stupid is that? When it gets hit with rounds, it activates the depleted uranium. It ain't depleted anymore. They didn't tell them about that. I'm going to cover this again tomorrow. Some more about this. And I want to talk about suicide specifically again. And that will be tomorrow. And things to look out for. And we'll talk specifically about suicide. Because now, as I've included, to show you that suicide goes way beyond post-traumatic stress just in the frontline units. It's being used as a weapon against our troops for genocide. Genocide. To make way the North American Union by reducing any possible resistance from effective forces that might be nationalistic. So militia, you guys that do all this Rambo stuff out in the boondocks, you don't think they don't have your number and have you infiltrated by FBI or CIA guys? You got another thing coming. Because you are infiltrated, I guarantee it. This ain't Wolverines in the 1980s. The outcome of every war is predetermined. Head toward the North American Union. That's the reality of the war you're fighting today. It's our own forces against our own forces. UN troops already here. Jesus Christ is the only way. Literally, the supernatural is the rule. 2 Chronicles 7:14. But individually, through Jesus Christ, He's already knows what's going to happen. He's already won. He's way beyond their rules of engagement. He's going to destroy their rules of engagement. They have nowhere to go. There's only two ways of places to go, heaven or hell. Heaven is through Jesus Christ. Hell is by rejecting Him because you choose to. The Joint Chief of Staff and anybody else at the highest level, your royal secret societies, whatever, they're going down 100% guaranteed. There's nothing they can do about it. They will not succeed. But in the meantime, you got choices to make. That's really the bottom line. So my point also is to show you that mankind is not going to fix it. It's all predetermined. Yeah, it's predetermined. You'll find it in the book of Revelation. It's called When Jesus Christ Returns on the Mount of Olives. That will happen. And it won't be in some silly UFO either. Oh, that's another story I could spend another 2 hours on. But family, this is the reality of what's happening today. And only through Jesus Christ can you get through it. You got to forgive yourself, veterans, of what you ever did over there. You got to forgive yourself and even forgive your enemy and forgive those that, if you're a member of sexual assault or a victim of it, you got to forgive them too. Your soul, don't let them do it to you again because your soul's eternal. Take back your soul by taking Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you win. Don't let them do it to you. Everything they've done to this point is to keep you from it. You snap back, forgive yourself and forgive your enemy and forgive others and take back your soul through Jesus Christ. You can do that. And that's the bottom line that they don't want you to know. Let you all know that my broadcasts and Bible studies are played up at highportradio.net. New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania. And John Kirkler is the owner of that network up in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, highpointradio.net. He's got sponsors up there, so if you live in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or New York, in that area, you can find the sponsors on his website. Use them. I don't get anything for it. I have no interest financially. He just plays my radio broadcast and Bible studies, and I appreciate it. That's it. I got a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. That's what I do. Family, I appreciate y'all's attention. Today was a little bit intense, I guess. I don't know. For me, it's just normal. But I hope I got my point across today to somebody, because I felt I had a lot to say, and somebody's listening. I don't know who, but I hope whoever's listening to will do something about this. So tonight, Bible study, I'm going to talk about the lost tribes of Israel tonight. That they're not lost. And it's not America either. Christian identity, I'm going to talk about you too tonight. Hey, buddy. Yeah. So I appreciate y'all's attention. Tonight, Bible study 8 to 9. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, hit the ground running. I hope to tie this up tomorrow on the genocide of our veterans, to let you all know that you are being targeted by secret societies. And I hope tomorrow to talk about technicalities and the voice to skull and the voices in the head, the technology they use for that. We'll get down to specifics tomorrow. So you'll have a great night. Mm-hmm. Pray. Seek Jesus Christ. He's waiting for you. Have a good night, and God bless you. This is your watchman, Thomas Gamble, signing off.
And every fear I'd ever had just melted
perfect
into peace.
Every day.